when we have to learn to do things on our own. Whether that be, learning to walk, whether it be taking the training wheels off our bike, kind of sending us out on our own. It could be even, many of you can remember starting off in college, those first few days of going off on your own, kind of the excitement that you experience, as well as kind of the fear sometimes that you might experience as well. All the way through when we begin, leave our parents' homes and kind of start up our own household, our own homes. And so today we're kind of going to be looking at maybe for the disciples, for the 12, the time when they went out on their own, where Jesus kind of is sending them out two by two so that they can spread the message of the kingdom. And I wonder sometimes, as we look at this passage this morning, how they might have felt kind of as they have seen Jesus for the past year or year and a half, 2 years, doing all the hard work, healing people, preaching the kingdom of God. He has done all of it, and they've kind of taken it all in, kind of watched as Jesus goes from place to place, ministering. And now for them, it's time for them to put things into practice. Two weeks ago, where we left off in Luke's narrative, it was some pretty cool examples of faith expressed through a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, had been hemorrhaging, and was healed by Christ by just reaching out and touching him, touching the edge of his robe. And also Jairus, who had begged Jesus to come home and save his daughter. And we kind of looked at the different aspects of faith a couple of weeks ago. Well, the time has come, and if you are following along in your Bibles, we're looking at Luke 9, 1 through 6. The time has come for the 12 to step out in faith and practice their faith as Jesus sends them out to bring the kingdom and the good news to the people. That's the title of my sermon this morning, is bringing it to the people, because that is what is happening. And so what we're going to see this morning, what Jesus shares with the 12, is kind of the what of bringing it out and the how of how they are to do it, the way they are to go about doing it. So why don't we go ahead and jump right into our story this morning as we look at Luke 9. One day, Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them the power and authority to cast out demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for your journey. Take nothing for your journey, he instructed them. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet and leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their faith. So they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. So what Jesus starts out by telling his disciples is the what. What are we supposed to do? What's the mission? What's our goal? What are we doing now? And so what he does is he brings in his inner circle, the 12 who've watched him closely for the past, past year and a half or 2 years, who've traveled with him, kind of brings them in and huddles them together. And these are the guys who are beginning to see, and again, we see throughout the Gospels, they are still pretty clueless throughout most of the Gospel. But they are beginning to have an idea of what Jesus is about. After watching him for a year and a half or 2 years, you'd think that they would. All right? But they are the ones who are beginning to see and have an idea of what Jesus is all about. They have seen him preach the good news. They've seen him cast out demons. They've seen him heal people. And after bringing them in together, I don't know if he, you know, had them like, huddle up guys, come around, gather them together. I don't know if it was over dinner or what. But after bringing them together, he may have said something like this. Look, guys, remember a while back when we saw the guy who was acting crazy? And we asked him what his name was. He said his name was Legion because there were many demons in him. And remember how I said with a word, I allowed all those demons and cast them out into the pigs? Well, now you have that same authority and power. I'm giving it and I'm imparting it from me to you. You have that same power and that same authority. And remember how a little while ago, just a while back, who reached out amongst the crowd to touch me, and the power left me and went into her and healed her. Now you have that same authority and same power to heal the sick. And so what I want you to do is I want you to go out with that same authority and power that I have and preach the kingdom and heal the sick. Very simple. That's what I want you to do. Now, the first thing he did was he told them what he wanted. He sent them out. The first thing he wanted them to do is to tell everyone about the kingdom of God. Other translations have it, okay, I want you to preach the kingdom of God. I want you to proclaim the kingdom of God. And, you know, it's kind of a, I don't know, it's a strange thing. If I had not studied this, if someone were to tell me, Brady, I want you to go out and proclaim God's kingdom, I would probably come back and you know, get back to me in 4 weeks after you have preach God's kingdom and proclaim God's kingdom. I would probably come back in 4 weeks with a blank stare and let them know that I have no idea what you are talking about when you are telling me to proclaim or preach God's kingdom. What Jesus is telling his disciples to share is that essentially God's order and his rule have already begun to take shape right here. And he's saying, go out and tell the people, tell this message, spread this message to everyone, that God's order and his rule have already begun to take shape and will further take shape as time goes on. An even simpler way of putting this, okay, an even simpler way of stating this is that, hey, God's plan is already in motion. I want you to know, and I want you to know, and I want you to know, and I want you to know, I want all of you to know that God's plan is already in motion. And I want you to turn around from where you're going and join in His plan. His kingdom has already begun. In the college ministry that we have on Friday nights, that we've been going through, kind of the circumstances around what will happen towards the end times, the end days. They say that, you know, if you look at kind of the Bible and break it down, they say that when Christ came and inaugurated the kingdom, we entered into what's called the last days. You know, and again, someone brought up in our study, hey, the last days is a long time. It is like, this has been a long time for the last days. But what, as you look at God's Word, what it's saying is that we have ended, this is the final segment before Christ's return. All this time before what we see, the Israelites, creation, the fall, all of this leading up to Christ. Now we are in the last segment, in the last days. And as we've been studying on Fridays, it's reminded me that His plan is set in motion. And that at some time He will bring this plan to completion. And what we experience, what you and I experience, and what everyone else in the world, but all the other nations experience, is going to change drastically upon His return. All right? things are going to change completely. Life as you and I know it, as the world, as the nations know it, is going to radically change. So it is a reminder to me, as we've been going even through this study, it's a reminder to me and to us, we need to respond to His call to tell everyone about the kingdom of God, because it will come to a close. And I wonder, do we have this urgency to tell people about this kingdom of God? So here's how we can begin to do it. Here is how, again, if we remember talking about the kingdom of God, again, it's telling people that, hey, there is a God, a creator, who set a plan in motion, who loves you, who wants a relationship with you, and you need to turn around and be a part of this plan. Here's how we can begin to do this, to carry out what Jesus is telling the 12 to do right now. The first thing we can do is to see people differently and see ourselves differently. What we need to begin to do, and I chose this picture because what we need to do is to begin to see people with a different lens. As Christ sent them out, the 12 were to see the people as, hey, do you know God? Do you know the Christ? Do you know that there is a kingdom that has begun? And every person that they saw, that they interacted with, they were to see them as, hey, do you know this? Do you know this, God? And what I want for us is that what God wants for us is that we would see people in this light, that we would see people through this lens. Each time we interact with our friends or acquaintances, many times we don't ask ourselves, does this person know about the living God? Many times, even this summer perhaps, God has placed someone in your life whom He would like you to be able to share about the kingdom of God. Think about it. There may be someone at your work, at your internship, in your class, in your summer school, that God is saying, I have put this person in your life so that you could be a witness, so that you could be a storyteller, so that you could be telling them about this plan, this purpose, this God who exists. So not only do we need to see ourselves, our people differently, though, we need to see ourselves differently. I had some friends in college who they eventually became missionaries to Kyrgyzstan for some time, but now they're back in the United States. But what they did is, in their apartment, I remember distinctly looking at their door, and above their door, they had a sign that said this: "You are now entering the mission field." And so it was a reminder of them to think about, when I leave this door, I'm going to see people differently, and I'm going to see myself differently as I am leaving this door as a representative, as an ambassador, as someone who is representing Christ. So as we carry this out, one of the things we need to do is we need to begin to see ourselves differently and see other people differently. But as part of the what, we had talked about telling everyone about the kingdom of God. One day Jesus called His 12 together and gave them power and authority to cast out demons and to heal all diseases. And then He sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God. And the second part of the what is to heal the sick. And now some may ask, what is the purpose, if we are to tell people about the gospel, if we are to tell people about the kingdom of God, what is the deal with healing people? You know, some of you have noticed, or I've been asked a question before, why is it that sometimes Jesus goes and heals people and tell anyone, you know, he will cure someone from leprosy or allow them to see, and then he'll tell them, "Hey, don't tell anyone." So what's up with that? What is it that he's sending his 12 out to do? Healing that Jesus does as well as his disciples do serve only to display the power of God and to point people to the kingdom. Alright? If you look at the examples throughout Scripture of Christ healing people, of the disciples healing people, the point of those is to point them to say, hey, there is a God who has power, and this kingdom that is happening is real. It is legitimate. It is confirmed. You can see it. There is something being displayed and revealed here, and you ought to take notice of it. Even Jesus himself said, "But if I am casting out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you." This is when they were kind of arguing about where Jesus' power is coming from. And he said, look, if my power is real, then you're knowing that what I'm saying about this kingdom that is being established right now is truth. All right? It's real. And it's to point you to this kingdom. So the main subject, the main goal for the 12 is to send out to talk about the kingdom of God. And their confirmation, how they're supposed to reveal this, is through healing and exorcism. In other words, when people see and experience these healings and exorcisms, they are to take notice of the message and the God behind the message. And it's the same for us today. Just as God's power was to flow through the 12, God's power is supposed to flow through us as a church, us as a ministry, us as a world church. In the form of healing, in the form of serving, in the form of His wisdom, in the form of discernment, in the form of love, so that whoever we touch, whoever we go to, whether it be Puerto Rico, whether it be Taiwan, whether it be China, whether it be people in your school, that they would know when they see that power, they would realize the God behind it. Our church, one of the strengths of our church is that our church is really great at surrounding people who are in need, who are sick, who are in trouble. These past couple weeks, I've heard a story about one family who, a number of years back, even before I came here, their family was in trouble, and there was an accident, and one of their family was in a hospital, and our church, one of the things that our church did was went and surrounded this family. And part of this family was as unbelievers. And so what they could do, what they saw, what this family saw, is they saw the church going in and loving and caring and surrounding one of their family members. So what they were able to see, what this family was able to see, was part of the kingdom of God. They were able to see a kingdom community, what community will be like in heaven. And it was revealed to them through our church. This is the kind of power behind the church when it flows through us so that other unbelievers and even believers can be a witness to, hey, this is God. And there is something behind this. or even in Puerto Rico, as we traveled there and as we began to serve in the community. And the cool thing about our trip to Puerto Rico and the ministry that they have there is that it's continuous throughout the summer. So in other words, we weren't the first group. Our ministry wasn't the first group that had arrived to serve the community, and ours group wasn't the last. There was a group before us, and then there's five other groups after us going in and serving the community. And what happens is even the leader of our missions trip, his name is Setrak. He's, I don't know, I think he's Armenian in background or something like that. But anyways, he said, look, one of the things that the community has already shared with me is that the community at large notices that there are people coming in regularly and serving the community. There was one restaurant owner at Caguas who said, okay, he wanted to give to our ministry by kind of cutting us he gave us a discounted meal, like a dinner, a special Puerto Rican meal, in part because he had seen us coming in and serving his community. And what's more, he'd seen week after week people going in who've paid to fly out there, who've paid their way and who've paid their trip out there just so that they can go and serve my community. He's like, what is it? Why is it? What would possess anyone? If anyone had $1,000 to spend, I would rather go and spend it on a vacation, some exotic vacation. I'd rather buy, something brand new for myself. But what would possess a group of people to pay to go and work in my community? This is the kind of thing that I want that we are to represent to the people around us. Locally, here in Troy and Auburn Hills and Pontiac, and really around the world. All right, this is when people ask what kind of people would do this. We can say, it's not us; it's the God behind us. It's the God that lives in us, whom we can point to. All right. So, getting out there, seeing people differently, seeing ourselves differently. Here's a second way that God is calling us when He's telling us to tell about the kingdom of God and heal the sick, telling us to make ourselves make yourself available. As God's people, we're to be a conduit. We're to be kind of like maybe like a lightning rod, or we are to be a television. I don't know. A straw. Yeah, we are to be God's power is to flow through us. All right. Maybe a lightning rod is not the exact illustration I'm looking for. But. We are to be a place where God's power can flow through us. He is the source, and we want to display His power. The best way to do this is to make yourselves available. Almost like saying, okay, God, here I am, let your power flow through me. Here we are as a church, here we are as a ministry, here we are as a group going into Puerto Rico. Let your power flow through us, and let it be revealed to the people around us of who you are. All right. So making yourself available might mean going as a community, or as a ministry, as a church to Grace Centers of Hope. It might be doing something as simple as being a peacemaker amongst friends, where you said, "Okay, I'll step in amongst some friends who are arguing, and I'll become a peacemaker." It can be any number of things which God's wisdom and His power and His discernment and all who He is displayed in you and through you so that others might see Him. This is what we are to do as a people, is to make ourselves available. So telling people about the kingdom and healing the sick is the what. So now we're going to go into the how. All right. Here's like where Jesus says, okay, so I'm telling you what to do. Here is the how. Says this, take nothing for your journey, he instructed them. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their faith. So Jesus tells them, take only bags which fit into your overhead compartment above and 3-ounce bottles which you can take into a small Ziploc bag so that you can travel lightly. Okay? Essentially what he's saying is travel light. Okay? I want you to travel light. He wanted them to depend on him to provide for even their most basic of needs. Okay? So this does not mean for us, it does not mean that every time, you know, if someone is to travel, if they're going to be a missionary in Africa, you know, it does not mean that they must leave everything behind and travel, take boat to an Africa with just nothing but the clothes on their back. Because a lot of times, again, people will establish long-term ministries there. And of course, that doesn't mean that we are not to have any homes or anything like that. What Christ is saying is that we are to depend on Him. We are to rely on Him. He told them not even to bring money. And again, this is like really, this is a really amazing, amazing trust that the disciples had to practice of like, okay, I'm just going to take my clothes and my sandals and I'm heading out. We're heading out together. But it was really cool to see God meeting our needs even in preparation. As all of us, the 20 of us, prepared to go to Puerto Rico, it was cool to see how God even anticipated our needs even before we went. As we raised support, it was cool to see how God poured out His provision so that we could be able to go and minister in Puerto Rico. There has been even a couple of times when we would be doing a car wash, and you know, people would come up to our car wash and they would not even have their car washed. They would just say, "Here you go. Here's what are you doing? We're doing a mission to Puerto Rico," and they'd say, "Here's towards the mission. You know, be blessed." Or sometimes it'd be raining and people would just, as we're washing cars, people just like come up and give us money towards the mission. And while we were there at the at Puerto Rico, I think it was Diane shared. When we were at the cathedral, we served in Caguas, in the cathedral there, at kind of the main square of the city, and as part of our serving there. The church there, the cathedral, provided lunch for us, and it was cool because again, some of the students shared is that some of the students did is they took their lunches, and they gave it to the homeless people. So it was neat to see how just even the smallest things, how lunch we weren't anticipating to be fed lunch at the cathedral was provided for us, and it was cool to see how. They wanted to serve us, and they wanted to give us lunch. So it was neat to see. And what Christ is saying is that we can live simply. We don't need much to go out and share His word, share about the kingdom, so that our focus can be on the mission, and so that we don't need to be entangled by. Sometimes we can get entangled by our stuff, right? We get caught up in our things, and we lose sight of people. And so Jesus is telling them, hey, don't get entangled by your stuff, all right? And rely on me, depend on me to provide for you, because I will provide for you. Okay. All right, the last part of how. Not only are we to depend on Him and rely on Him and kind of let go of our things, and live simply. The last part is to allow God to be the judge when we go out. Verse 5 says, "And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate." Jesus already knew that when people would go out, just as any one of us who go out to share with acquaintances, friends, whomever, Jesus already knew that there would be people who would reject the message and reject the gospel and reject the kingdom. And in so doing, rejecting us. Ultimately, they're rejecting the message, not us per se. And so he tells his disciples, look, when you go into a town and you will face rejection, you will face people rejecting the kingdom of God, just go ahead and shake the dust off your feet and move on. And allow the fate that God holds for them with God. All right? When we go out and share, and I spent one summer on a actually it was a stateside mission just to a beach in New Hampshire, and I'd go share the gospel every evening. We'd go out and share the gospel on the weekends, and again, it was true. We could go out and we would basically, our job was to let people know about the kingdom. Our job was just to make connections, make relationships with people, and give people an opportunity to hear it. And that was what we were called to do. And we did face, there was a lot of people that weren't interested, and that's okay. It was all right if people said, you know what, I don't want to hear it. I'm not interested in talking to you about this. And it's okay. We would just say, okay, you know, this person, God hasn't readied this person. We'll go ahead and move on to the person whose God has readied. And so that's how it will be with the people around you, you know. It'll be friends who you care for greatly and whom you long to see come to know the Lord. But be patient with them and keep praying for them. But right now they may not be ready. All right. So this is what they did. As they went out, they saw people differently. They saw themselves differently. They made themselves available. We're like, okay, this is kind of probably scary. This is the first time we've been without our Lord kind of doing the work for us, but we're going to go out and we're going to do it. They made themselves available, and they kind of forsook everything that they had, all their belongings, and just went out and simply trusted Him. Simple trust. And they allowed God to be the judge. And so Luke closes it out with just a summary verse of what they did. So they beaned their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. And that's what they did. It was very simple. And he gives, we'll see a little bit later how he started with the 12. He started with those close to them. And a few chapters later, he sends out 72. Okay, it was an extension of who his message and who he was out to the people, out to the area of Judea. So, brothers and sisters, we are to be his kingdom messengers. Let us begin to see people. There is someone probably tomorrow whom you will interact with who does not know the Lord. See them through his eyes, okay? And just ask the Lord, what he'd have you do. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go and club them over the head with a Bible or take this track home with you, study it, and get back to me. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It means being available. It means saying, listening to him, listening to God, and saying, how would you have me show your power, your wisdom, your discernment? How would you have me talk to this person in a way which will draw them to you? I'm available to you, God. I don't know how you want to use me, but I'm available. All right? Make yourself available so that God can reveal himself through you and through us as a ministry, as a church. Why don't we close in prayer, and then we can respond in song. Heavenly Father, it is sometimes we would prefer many times to kind of remain in our within the bounds of our church and within the comfort of brothers and sisters who we know love you and follow you. And it's just comfortable, Lord, and we enjoy that community. And we look forward to that community when you return. But Lord, you've called us out. You did not call us to, to be an attractive place where people will come in. You've actually called us to go outward, to go outbound. Father, we desire to have, we desire to be, make ourselves available so that your power can be revealed in our lives. As we are together as a church, as we go out together as a church, as we go out as individuals, I pray that your amazing grace, what makes you so unique and powerful would be shown and displayed through us, so that people would say, stand up, and people would take notice and say, who is it or what is it that makes you so unique and different? And we can say, it is Yahweh, it is Jesus Christ, our Lord, the living God. And that's what makes us different. That's what makes us unique. That's what makes us a loving and caring and beautiful people. May we display this. May this be revealed through us. In Jesus' name, amen.